Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
While in Germany the GDP grew 1.6%, the US growth rose 6.6%. Consumer spending and exports are strong. This is the IG Trading Talk and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Eddine Boumidi, he's the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Guys, so good to see you.
Hi, great to be here. Thank you, man.
Peter, the US growth is so much stronger than in Germany, for example. What are you guys doing?
You know, that is a good question. I don't know what we're doing. You know, I mean, look, to me, it's funny. These numbers are just numbers, really. You know, so much of it is what they're anticipating, how much of it's real, you know, what is the playbook for the recovery story? Are we really, you know, is the number accurate relative to where we just came from, right? Is it a normal number, right, given the last 18 months? That's my question. I mean, sure. It appears to be strong. You know, it was one notch under what they had expected. You know, let's think about it, guys. We just had a year where, even though the stock market has not wavered at all in the eyes of this global economic shutdown due to the pandemic, we are still an economy that is still has a lot of bumps in the road on its way to recovery. Are people out there spending again? Yes. Is retail having a better time than it did a year ago? Absolutely. You know, are people getting their lives back to a certain extent? Yes. Are there still so many unknowns relative to the deviant? I'm calling the Delta variant. I refer to it as the deviant. Relative to the Delta variant? Absolutely. So, you know, is the U.S. economy growing? It's hard to really understand. It doesn't feel that way to me as I walk down the streets in New York City and I see that there are blocks and blocks on Fifth Avenue. As you know, the most vibrant retail environment in the world, there are shops that are closed, will never open again, from the Gucci's to the Lululemon's to the Under Armour's. I mean, we're just seeing, you know, a complete decimation of a city. In so many ways, people are going to go to restaurants while somewhat are now being closed in again. So relative to where we were economically a year ago with a complete shutdown, I think we are doing quite well. Is it really the kind of growth you can just sink your teeth into? I don't know that. You know what? I know that the numbers that are their estimates coming out of Goldman Sachs seem strong. And I know relative to Europe, we're doing a little better. I'm just not clear whether we're seeing a number that doesn't really reflect. It's reflecting growth from zero and not really seeing whether the economy is in a real state of recovery yet, because I don't see people on cruise ships and in movie theaters and in restaurants as much as we would love to.
Salah, you brought us the chart of the week. It's the Dow Jones, and we saw like record highs the last weeks. What do you see when you analyze the chart?
Yeah, I took the chart of the week for Dow Jones this week because it's a chart book pattern today, or what we can see right now. The EMA 55, this is what I always take the last weeks and months, actually, where I'm really curious on is whether we are just testing the EMA and getting and pushing higher, or is that the moment where maybe a correction can start, or a small correction, tiny correction might start. And what we have seen last week on Friday, we just tested the EMA 55 or 50, whatever, you can use both, but you will see we have been pushing higher again, 2% till end of last week almost, which is again a confirmation of the trend and again a confirmation of how nice technical analysis can help you spot setups and trading entries or exits. And that's why I show you again today this chart, just to put it in your mind, to show you how, if you keep it simple, this is also one strategy that you can use, you can always spot my trading ideas, and this is one that we can see in Dow Jones. And possibly, if this gameplay taper or not to taper, this is the question that we are on right now. And if it goes to the positive side, we will see. Then I think Dow Jones can create a new record high, and this is what the momentum right now shows us.
Peter, we have the feeling that the markets are almost unstoppable, one record high after the other. Do you think this can continue?
You know what? I will just dip into what Salah just said. And, you know, if people do study technical analysis and they do study the wonderful trade called a trend trade, the entry point into a trend trade is when a market that is marching higher, higher, and higher retraces to support levels in the EMA, right? Whatever EMA you happen to be using, 15, 65, 55, as Salah did reference. But it's kind of like a march of steps going up, two steps forward, one step back, right? When one gets into a trend trade and the trend is established on its way up, one does not really just jump into it unless it reverts back to support, to know that this is a building block towards a higher and higher, higher and higher high, as it were, right? To a record high. So that's a fascinating thing. And I beg everyone to go and find technical analysis, whoever you get it from, whether it's Wall Street Global Trading Academy, whether it's Sol or whatnot. What a wonderful tool to learn where to get an entry point into this market. All that being said, the market, look, I'm a firm believer in that the market tells you what it thinks about all this information. And while we have seen the market over the last, look, Salah is a master at historical data and seasonal trends. August, normally, as we talked about last month, should have been a down month, and in fact, it wasn't. So right. This is not your grandfather's stock market. And then once again, we're seeing that the nothing seems to be dislocating this rally, right? We've had a couple of weeks where there was the inflationary fear. That was a short-lived sell-off. It was a 1-2-3-day experience. Then there was the yield curve and the death cross and whatnot that usually would affect the market on the downside. That was a 1-2-day experience. And there has yet to be a follow-through on any of these economic data that's been coming out that has really caused a bit of a sell-off. We did see a couple of weeks ago the Federal Reserve had said, we're going to give you a lot of leeway into the decision on tapering. The market liked that because it's like, okay, we're not taking our foot off the gas. Then there was some dissent amongst the Federal Reserve governors about their decision whether the economy, that the wild card was the Delta variant, and is the Delta variant going to affect the economy in a negative way? And if in fact it is, then we are not going to taper. If the economy feels strong and we get a handle on the recovery story through the variant, well, then it's time to taper. To taper or not to taper, that is the question. So while nothing has shown us over the last couple of months to be have any follow through on a dislocation of this incredible bullish rally, I would say that the tapering is the only story that would look good earnings, bad earnings, market goes up. Inflation being transitory and not market goes up. Federal Reserve wondering about interest rates and whatnot, market still inches its way higher. Retail sales down, up, whatever, market continues to forge higher because there's just an incredible appetite. Where else can you put your money right now? However, I believe that, look, we are at a precipice here where we are going to need the next catalyst to take the market from 35.5 in the Dow Jones, which is the chart of the week, higher. Or is this level going to be one that's a little bit toppy, double top, and going to be dislocated by the tapering story? If we see a fast track to taper, then I believe we may see a small rotation consolidation in the market and it may feel toppy. Is it a long-term follow-through story? The market tells me that no matter what, it's not. Because, okay, the funny part is, and we've spoken about it before, we've been shown by each one of these sell-offs that we've seen, as short-lived as they are, that there's a bid in the market, right? A lot of these stocks have valuations that are off the charts due to the pandemic, the stimulus, whatever it is. We've seen stocks go up 100%, right? Oh, since in the last 18 months, as we've seen the market go up double digits. And but what we haven't seen is enough of a little bit of a dip where people are going to step in and start putting their shopping list to work. There are people who don't want to buy Netflix and Amazon or Zoom and DocuSign or Peloton and Housewares at the crazy valuations where they are at the moment, Moderna, whatever. These stocks are high flyers over the last 18 months. However, if we were to see a little bit of a consolidation and a rotation and a sell-off, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 points, I guarantee you there are people sitting around with shopping lists dying to find a really good discounted entry point into all these stocks, whether it's the S&P, whether it's the ETFs, whether it's retail, whether it's the stay-at-home stocks, whether it's the reopening stocks. People have shopping lists. They're sitting around waiting for things to go on sale. And I would say a 3, 4, 5,000 point sell-off would be a sale. And I don't see it much breaking much more than that, worst case scenario.
One major focus point for Fed and for everybody actually in the US is the labor market, right? And we have seen, we talked about it in the first week of August about the non-farm payrolls, which have been great, which was awesome, was leading actually the markets to new highs again because it was euphoric and positive. But now, last week, we have seen jobless claims rose by a weekly basis, unexpected. So for me, and of course for the Fed, it's of course also important to see how, whether the market, labor market is stable or not. But I want to, for our audience, Peter, because you live in the US, just give us a picture on the street, on life, not from markets. Are people realizing, or do you feel or realize that, that jobless claims are higher? Is the market, or is the labor market, or are getting people into the labor market easier than expected? So what can you give us as a small picture from the streets, actually?
I appreciate the question. You know, it is something I try and analyze on a daily basis, because for me, these are, you know, the jobless claims, the unemployment rate, the GDP, these are numbers, right? And as I said to you, I'm not convinced that these numbers are etched in stone. In reality, they're expectation with a little bit of fluff and whipped cream, in my opinion, right? But I'm not an economist. So I like to look in the nooks and crannies, and I appreciate the question because that begs me to look in the nooks and crannies and see what do the streets look like. And so it's fascinating to know that we are seeing a lot of restaurant closures post-pandemic, meaning that restaurants that were able to stay alive through the pandemic with the stimulus and the PPP and the Federal Reserve's attempt to support small business are now closing. Why are they closing? Because they can't find workers to come to work. That is the word on the street. So that's kind of curious. Well, why is that? So we've got unemployment benefits that are eventually going to that have been boosted up by the stimulus package by the Federal Reserve that are going to start running out, right? And I know I'm not a proponent of that fan. Oh, people are lazy and they're rather stay at, as long as they're getting unemployment benefits that are more than they would make at work, they're going to stay home. I'm somebody who can't wait to get to work, right? So that's not my psychology and mentality, and I don't put that on people. But it's very possible that we have I love the fact that the demand for workers is causing companies to have to pay more for that, and the minimum wage is going up, and I think people should be paid more. My sense of the street is, you know, we're in a bit of a quandary here, guys. Look, the south of the United States, the unvaccinated population is once again being decimated by the virus. We have 5 states in the south which are conservative, right-wing states. They are big anti-vaxxer states that are 98% of all new COVID cases are people who are unvaccinated. And there is only a 61% vaccination rate in the U.S. So we are seeing communities get decimated. That's one problem that's causing a little bit of problem. We're seeing businesses still struggle as this new variant comes in. And as the you know, look, there's nothing worse. It's like people were sheltered in place. We got accustomed to what our lives were like under the pandemic. We started to reopen. They let everybody out of the cages, right? They let everyone out of their homes. And we're like, oh my God, that thirst for life and friendship again. And now we're being corralled back in because of the variant. That's a very difficult place to be psychologically, spiritually, economically for people, because it's like, really? You're going to shut us back down again. So I see it at my work that people are apprehensive about coming back to work. People are not running to the office like you would think, right? My hope was that the recovery would come, the virus would die off, and we would get our lives back. Well, that's not the case. And I cannot perceive what everyone is feeling. People have been at home, lost loved ones, lost jobs. The psychological effects, let's be clear that that's going to be a big thing going forward, is what's the psychological and spiritual effects have been of shelter in place and economic disaster on the population of the world, right? And people who have lost loved ones, have lost jobs, have been locked in their homes for the last year and a half. So the reopening story is a paradox in, that it's not happening smoothly. And then you've got the variant on top of it. So retail stores are not opening up yet. Restaurants are going through the now once while open for a few months are now once again, you can't eat inside unless you're wearing a mask or proof of vaccination. The spring and the fall and winter are coming. These are months where not only do we have the influenza, but they tend to be more dangerous times for the pandemic as well. So in answer to your question, what does it feel like boots on the ground here? It doesn't feel good yet, right? I don't feel people getting their lives back. I don't feel people running back to the office. I don't feel people are heading out to retail and to brick and mortar. And so I think we are stumbling. We're stumbling and falling. And so while we know that the market per se has not been dislocated by anything that's happened COVID-related, right? In the eyes of an economic global shutdown, this market is trading at record highs. The reality of what it's like in the streets of New York City is that we are stumbling and falling, and we are apprehensive about taking our lives back, and clearly warranted so, because even people we have breakthrough virus for people who have been vaccinated, those who haven't been vaccinated, this virus is 1,000 times stronger than the first one. And we're seeing what's happening in other states. And obviously, we're trying to preserve whatever recovery we have. So I think the world, the U.S., New York City, still has a long way to go. I'm hoping for the best.
Peter, thank you so much for these insights and for your view, for your opinion. Highly appreciated, guys. Thank you so much, Peter Tuckman, legendary Einstein of Wall Street, and Salah Edide Boumidi, the head of markets at IG. Guys, thank you very much.
See you in person soon, everybody.
And guys, thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk. More information on IG.com. Thank you very much. Take care.
Take care.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.